And welcome to the 72PC Podcast, the only podcast where you can join the conversation and the game. This week, we are doing things a little differently. So as you know already, probably, we usually play Rocket League during the podcast so that we can play some games with friends and have something nice on the video for the people that watch live. This time, we are not playing Rocket League. We are playing Battlefield 4. Small disclaimer for the audio listeners. Hopefully there's not too much noise from like keyboards and stuff clicking. We'll see how it goes. If it's bad, let us know and we will address it.
We thought about breaking Tom's fingers so he couldn't hit the keys as long or loud, but yeah. He wasn't a fan of that idea.
Yeah. So what you're going to get is a whole lot of this.
Basically what I'm saying is make sure to complain so that we can break Tom's fingers for the next one.
Yeah, if you don't complain, these fingers will stay in their unbroken state.
Which is bad for everyone else, except for Tom. Yeah.
Literally everyone else.
We don't want these hands. And not because we're afraid of Tom hitting us, but because we don't want to listen to it.
Yeah. Comrade Bunny does accurately report that I would just face roll the keyboard at the point where my fingers were broken. And yeah, that's accurate too.
So anyways, how's everything going, guys?
Pretty good, honestly. I played way more games than I thought I would have the chance to. So I'm happy.
That's good. Yeah, you got a list.
Yeah.
I took the Tom role this week, and my week was fucking trash. It was a rough another one. Week with work.
That sucks.
Another one. That sucks.
Another one.
Does it look like it's going to die off soon?
Yeah. I'm towards the end of it. I normally don't have to deal with this, but man, I'm a pretty chill dude. I normally don't get stressed, but holy shit, I could actually feel the stress. It's been a roughing. It's been a roughing. Yeah. But we're almost through it.
Almost through it. That's good. It's the weekend now. Yeah. Now you're just chilling with the homies, playing games and talking about them.
Yeah.
Playing games, talking about games, everything games. Games.
Games.
So hey,
I killed somebody on the podcast. out of context sentences.
Context is everything. So what about your week, Adam? How's your week?
Mine was fine. Not too bad. I ended up taking a day off of work because of the snow. It got pretty rough.
How was everyone else dealing with it? Was other people or did work in general just say, fuck it, don't come in?
Work didn't say that, but almost everybody didn't come in. We have a night crew that works overnight that's usually between like 30 and 50 people. And they had probably less than half that. And then we were supposed to have 6 people during the day. 3 people, I think, showed up, and they all showed up late because of the weather.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and then like on other projects that our team does, there were some where literally nobody came in at all. They were just like, nope, not driving in this, especially not however far they had to drive. And that was reasonable because it was rough.
Yeah, especially since your job tends, like the people that you work with and you have to drive a good ways to get to places.
Sometimes, yeah. It's upwards of an hour sometimes.
Yeah, it's not like your normal drive, 20 minutes, get to work kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was kind of rough. And shoveling my driveway sucked. Gah.
So last week, whenever we were podcasting, we had just started to get some snow here, just a little bit. And I thought, it's not going to be too bad. Come Sunday morning when I woke up, we had like fucking 6 inches at spots in the backyard.
Jesus.
Like, it was nuts. For us, that's a lot of snow.
I think we got about 2 up here, maybe 3. It honestly wasn't terrible, but it's kind of nice. I'm not going to lie. I do like opening the windows in the morning and seeing that snow piled up because I don't got to go fucking anywhere.
Yeah. I hate driving in it, but I like the way it looks. I love the way the snow covered like trees and the ground and everything. I love how it kind of like shines in the sunlight and glistens. And I like how quiet everything gets. It's so peaceful. It dampens all the sound. It's so cool. But once it's on the road, get out. I don't want it. I don't like shoveling it. I don't like driving in it. But whatever. We're talking about the weather like a bunch of old men. What else have you guys been doing this week?
I've been playing some VR stuff, which is pretty rad. So our good buddy Acro just got VR. So I got to jump into a whole lot of VR games that I hadn't played in years. And some of them in like 6 months, like Rec Room, which is still fucking awesome. I love Rec Room. It is chill. It's got a whole lot of content. And it's free. It's just fucking free. You're able to buy cosmetics, but that's where their revenue is, man. That's it. So if you want to play anything from paintball to dodgeball to bowling, which I've got a great story for, yeah, Rec Room's your game.
Yeah, Rec Room's such a good VR title.
I'm just surprised that it's still free. Like, they could charge money for this, and they don't. They could charge a lot of money for this, and they don't.
Yeah, they could.
So, Acura and I figured out a cheat to bowling. Because usually, I mean, in VR, you have to be, you know, relatively adept at aiming when you're throwing something. It's not aim assisted or anything like that. So one thing that we decided to do is overhanded bowling. We would literally just take the bowling ball and fucking yeet it over our head at the pin. So Rob was there and he got to see this. First try, no practice. I yeeted the bowling ball and got a strike. It was fucking fantastic, let me tell you. I was impressed with myself.
I'm sorry if I'm distracted. My game is doing weird shit.
Is it? Well, that's okay, because I can distract everybody with this beautiful Dark Souls t-shirt that you two can own by that's going cool. to your favorite search engine and looking up Dark Souls t-shirt to buy. So, yeah, there we go. I got my Dark Souls reference. You're welcome.
I'm good, dog.
You're so welcome.
Yeah. So, Acura got into some VR. I think I'm planning on jumping in with him tonight some. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it because I think it's the first fresh person we've had in our community with VR in a while. Yeah. Like everyone else is like, oh, we've had it for a long time. So it's just every once in a while. But to be around someone who's discovering it for the first time is a really cool thing.
Yeah.
Because the general excitement of, oh, shit, you can do that.
I completely forgot how weird it was to have Vive controllers. So on the Index, like, most things in most games aren't going to be, like, I can't say most. A lot of games will rely on just your physical hands interactions because that's what the Index controllers are good at. It's like physically grabbing things. It's like, oh, well, how do you reload the gun? Okay, we'll grab this piece and do this with this piece. Like, it's easy to mime things and show people what you're doing. But with the Vive controllers, I'm like, oh, fuck, how do you do that? Oh, yeah, you got to, like, push this button and then grip and ungrip here, and then you got to hold this thing. Like, it's kind of weird. So that's been kind of a personal struggle for me, is remembering how things worked in the Vive era. But it's fun.
Yeah, not a struggle for me because, yep, still running it myself.
It's a great headset. There is nothing wrong with the OG Vive. Like, it's I don't want to call it cheap because it's not cheap. But, you know, compared to the press, the Index... Yeah. Compared to like the Index, you can get a nice OG Vive set for, I don't know, 200 or I'm sorry, 300, 400, something like that. And it's still a perfectly serviceable headset. There's nothing wrong with
it. I mean, I still enjoy mine.
Good option for the people who have that Quest 2 budget, but don't really want to deal with the Facebook thing.
Yeah, exactly. And it's important to note that, like, if you're going after the Quest 2, because it is a PC-less VR experience, the Vive will not give you that. The Vive does still require a gaming PC to hook the headset up.
Honestly, Quest 2, if it wasn't for the Facebook stuff, like, that sounds like a really fucking good entry point.
It's fucking perfect. I'm actually really mad at Facebook because the Quest 2 is great technology. It is an all-in-one, like, trackerless headset, everything built into the device itself. You don't need a gaming PC, but it has the option that you can hook it to a gaming PC. Like, it's just fucking just outstanding. The tech is amazing. Facebook fucking just ruined it, which sucks.
I mean, which is Facebook, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonder what they're doing with all that data.
I don't know.
I don't want to know.
Watching it, having fun.
I don't want to know what they're doing with it.
Making all the monies off of it. All the monies.
Privacy is weird.
It sucks.
I'm a weird one when it comes to it because I'm like, well, I'm getting all this shit for free. It's not really for free. So if I want this shit, I know what it's going to cost me.
Yeah.
Here's my information.
Yep. It's weird. But, I wonder where all that stuff's going to go.
I mean, retail advisors or, my God, commercial companies. Advertisement. There we go. Jeez.
Advertisement.
Why am I not able to talk? This is a bad thing to not be able to talk during a podcast.
It's because you're distracted with trying to win.
I know the struggle. Yeah, we're trying to
win. Okay. I'm going full disclosure right now. My game is fucked. Like, I don't have a primary weapon. I don't see bodies. My gun's just floating.
What?
Why?
I sent Tom a screenshot. It is bizarre.
We played this no problem the other night.
I was playing. As soon as I switched my kit, it got weird. Oh. And now I can't switch it back.
You can't switch it back?
What the fuck, Irk? Your game is straight up broken. I just now saw that screenshot.
So, yeah. I'm going to probably restart. But anyway, games.
Games.
Battlefield.
I was just going to say, Adam talked about it last cast.
Yeah, I'm still loving it. I think I've got like 20 some hours in now over the past 2 weeks.
After the cast, I installed it. And then Tom, Adam, and I played it for like 3 hours after the cast.
Yeah. It was a shit ton of fun.
We were playing and having fun. And I remember looking at my phone and I'm like, oh my God, it's 3 a.m. where did time go? It's just easy to get immersed in it and enjoy it. I played a bunch today with Rob. We had a lot of good matches. There's just a lot of stuff in Battlefield.
Yeah.
Like between the large maps, the vehicles. I love that there are 64 players on like the large scale maps and stuff, because it's the perfect amount of players where your personal contribution doesn't feel like it's your fault if your team loses the game. But it's small enough, and with the different objectives and focusing on a couple things at a time, you can feel like you're still like helping. It doesn't feel pointless.
You could feel impactful, but not detrimental.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a much better way to word what I was trying to say, but it's good. I love that. And it's especially rewarding when you're playing with friends, like in a squad and stuff, and you can work on the same objectives together and work together.
Well, the squad stuff's really cool. Mm-hmm. And I like that it's COD like progressions. Work with the gun, get shit for the gun.
Yes.
The gunplay is a slightly more realistic version of COD, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
The guns feel like COD at close range. As you start to get to longer range, you start to have to lead and you have to account for bullet drop. Mm-hmm. And by bullet drop, I mean, it's like holding a wet noodle.
Yeah. That's a really good way of putting it.
At certain ranges, the bullet drop is very much exaggerated, but it should be for gameplay balancing and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise snipers would just decimate the game. Mm-hmm.
But like in comparing it, I know it's probably old for anybody who plays either game or tired of people comparing the games to Call of Duty and stuff. But I just find that there's so much more variety in the gameplay that I don't get bored of this the same way that I would in Call of Duty. Not that Call of Duty is bad. Like I could have a really good time playing a couple of team deathmatch games of Call of Duty. But after a couple hours, I'm going to be bored of it. But a game like this, there's so much that you can do. You can focus on destroying the vehicles, or you could be driving the vehicles. You can focus on infantry gameplay, sniping. You can, play the objectives and use your equipment, or you can just straight up try to kill people the whole round. Like, you can just change what you do so much that it's always fresh.
Dude, being in the choppers is where it's at.
Yeah.
Like one of your boys in the cockpit driving it, and you get everyone else out in the gunners. Oh man, that's such a good time.
I like being the guy that shoots down that chopper.
Yeah.
There's nothing more satisfying than using like the guided missile and hitting a helicopter out of the air. That is so fun. It feels good.
Well, the anticipation of that, it's great because you shoot it and it's guided, but it's not guaranteed to hit. Yeah. Like if they do evasive moves, they dodge it. So you got that about 3 to 4 seconds after you shoot it. It's like, well, it's going. Yeah. Love it.
Or you can use the manually guided one, which is cool. It's kind of what I got going on now.
I do love the manually guided missile.
Basically, you stay aimed in after you shoot it, and then you can move your mouse to guide the missile manually.
Yeah, that's really cool. And just so you guys know, I'm in queue to rejoin adequately, restart my game. So there's five people in front of us. So keep pointing, boys.
And in case you do hear pretty awful audio coming from Urk, I think his network is dying. Or it might be completely dead at this point.
It might be because he restarted the game or rejoined the game or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is my audio completely awful right now?
It's pretty just bad. Terrible. Yeah. You can maybe try restarting your interface again. Me and Tom will hold it down for a second. Urk has this issue. I don't know what all causes it, but sometimes he has to restart his audio device and it usually fixes itself. So hopefully he'll be back soon with a nice, clear, crisp, beautiful baritone voice.
As always.
I can talk about.
Hey, he's back.
Okay. That was way.
That wasn't very far. Or it wasn't too long.
One thing that I've been putting a lot of hours into, of course, just like last week, is more Beat Saber. But I did notice that, you know, after 2 weeks of using Beat Saber for my exercise routine, it can get a little samey. I launched it two nights ago. It was fine, but like I quit after about 10 minutes because I just wasn't feeling it. So I loaded up Creed, the VR boxing game. Now, I had played this a couple years ago, but I decided, okay, I need to get some exercise. I've got VR. Beat Saber really isn't doing it for me right now. What else can I do? Oh, how about Creed? So I loaded it up, and guys, I gotta say, I am hiding a heating heating. What am I trying to say?
A heating pad?
Yeah, that one. That amazing piece of technology. I currently have a heating pad on me right now because fuck, everything hurts all the time. This is day two of everything hurting all the time. I am having kind of a shit day. Creed really works for that exercise, but fuck, you better be prepared for it because it is painful.
I was going to say that was a couple days ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like Friday night, and I am still
sore.
Just the worst time.
That's your body rebuilding itself. That's the good. You're getting gains, Tom.
No, I don't want it to rebuild itself.
All about the gains.
Tom's getting mad gains.
I just want to roll over and die.
To get swollen, you need pain. Dying
sounds way, way easier.
Oh, it is.
but yeah, it's good. I cranked that. I was doing pretty good on easy. Cranked up the normal difficulty. Was doing really good there. And then I cranked up professional, and I got my ass fucking handed to me. It was beautiful. I was destroyed. But yeah, I can wholly recommend that game. It was wonderful.
So is it as good as Wii Boxing?
It is better than Wii Boxing, if you can even imagine such a thing.
Wii Boxing might have actually been the best fucking thing I played on the Wii. Like, really? I love Wii Boxing, dude.
Better than Mario Striker?
Ooh.
That's a close one. I will say that.
The best, probably more like motion control focus game, maybe.
Yes, yes.
If you liked Wii Boxing, you should really try out Punch Out on the Wii because that was even better somehow.
So it's just pretty much Wii Boxing, only it's a re-theme for Punch Out.
Except, like, instead of being like mini game levels of quality, this is like full game levels of quality.
Okay.
Yeah. It's excellent.
All right.
So anyway, I moved from Beat Saber to boxing and then decided to cool down a little bit with some Blade and Sorcery, which I have done a lot of, so I'm not going to, you know, dive into that too hard, but it's still fantastic. They keep getting updates. They keep adding new powers, new weapons, new locations. And it's fun to just go around and stab people.
It's one I've never really been too big on. Like, I've never been big on the Blade and Sorcery, Gorn, that whole genre of arena brawler kind of thing.
The first-person melee game.
Yeah. It's fantastic. I love all the combat practice.
But
yeah.
Yeah. What else y'all been doing?
I played this really, really small, really, really indie game called The Black Iris. I saw a little article about it on PC Gamer or something. Every once in a while, they'll highlight a game they played that was kind of cool. So it was like free, basically, on itch.io. Like, it's that indie. Pay what you want kind of thing. And it's basically, it's an attempt at like cosmic horror, really atmospheric kind of otherworldly sense of dread. And you start off and you have to decommission this, I don't know if it's like a research facility or something. And it's really basic gameplay. You can tell it's probably they're like maybe one developer or like a really small team, and it might be one of their first games or something. So it is pretty rough around the edges. But the gameplay is pretty simple. You basically just have to find these three things and then decommission the three parts of the station, and then you can do like the little ending thing. The game as a whole, it was only like 20 or 30 minutes. Really small scale.
So going to itch.io to find a game is not something I typically think of you doing. So what directed you here?
It was that PC Gamer article and the fact that it was a really like atmosphere focused cosmic horror sort of thing. And because it was free and it was short. So I was like, whatever. I'll check it out and see what it's all about. Some of the screenshots look kind of cool because it had like this trippy, like changing purple color visual thing to it. So the whole thing is like PS1 era pixel, like really low res, low fidelity graphics. But it all has this, like I said in that screenshot, this like trippy, like the sky is different shades of purple switching to orange and like flowy. And there's just something off about the whole atmosphere of the game. But overall,
off
like
in a good way.
Yeah. They do a pretty good job of like with the sound and the visuals, like sort of giving that, I guess, intended atmosphere. But overall, like the game, it's not really a good game. Like as far like mechanics, there's really nothing there. You just walk around, find these three things, and watch the basically ending cinematic or whatever. But what I really liked about the game, despite it being super amateur and super rough around the edges, is they actually put in the effort to still present that in a really cinematic and interesting way. So I'm sure they're aware that their game isn't going to blow anyone's mind and that it's super rough and like the animations are bad and like the visuals, like the style is cool in the visuals, but like a lot of the assets are really not amazing. But they presented it well, and you can tell that they had a lot of passion in it. So even when you just start the game, there's an intro cinematic. They took like actual stock footage from like a science documentary or something, and then like put a filter over it to make it more pixely so that it's not so jarring when it goes from that to the game. So they actually had like an intro cinematic with this footage and like really well done title cards and stuff with like the Black Iris across the whole front of the screen. It reminded me a little bit of the title cards in Control. Remember those, Tom? With like the giant text on the screen and the cool stylized or whatever. So they actually did that. And then the whole game is this like really close behind the shoulder, like Resident Evil 4 camera style. But then there are a couple of areas where you walk through and it switches to like a fixed camera for certain spots. And it's just all these little things that they added into it that just give it that cinematic, nice presentation. And even in the middle, there are some video sequences with some like, they actually added in some voice acting, like narration over a couple of parts. I really like to see these really amateur, you know, devs and games, but still actually putting in like the care and the love to present that the best way that they can. So I find that really cool. And I hope that more like really amateur indie devs can see that kind of thing and learn from it.
It's a shame that it sounds like everything around the game was done really well. It's just the game itself wasn't very engaging.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I mean, they did a pretty good job with the atmosphere and the visual style added to that, and the soundtrack was pretty good. Yeah, the actual gameplay itself was very much, it's just a quick fetch quest while exploring the area and then seeing the cinematic stuff. But no, I just really appreciate that despite being a small game with a small dev, they still put the care into it to like present itself seriously and to really take that and you know, put its best foot forward or whatever.
Yeah.
So that was cool. I'm glad I checked it out, and I do want to check out more stuff like that. I do want to do the itch.io. I don't know if I want to say slog, but you know, try to find some gems hidden in there, you know?
Itch.io has a lot of really, really, really good stuff on it, mm-hmm. but holy fuck, do you gotta dig. because it is like the everyman shop. Like, you know, Steam says, oh no, we're good for all developers, but you still gotta like throw down $100 on Steam and say, yes, here, I want to be a real boy now. Yeah. H.io says, hey, you got an email address? You got a password we can use? Cool, upload your games here. Right? Like, yeah. The barrier to entry is super low, mm-hmm. but that also means that there's a whole lot of shit.
Yeah.
There's a reason Steam puts a barrier.
Exactly.
Yeah. But the
like,
same
don't get me wrong. I love itch.io. I really do. But it's it can be rough.
Yeah, and I'm sure most of them are. And even this one was pretty rough. But I like that you can see the passion there.
Yeah.
Like even if it's not perfectly executed, there's still a layer of actual. Like you can tell they put a lot of care into it. And I love to see
that. Baby.
It's kind of inspiring. So I hope to see more stuff like that.
Well, dig around on itch, you know, spend next month playing through 200 games. You'll probably find three to have it.
Yeah. I'll just see if PC Gamer puts out another article in a couple weeks and I'll check another one out.
Feeder!
I mean, itch has a lot of tools to help you kind of filter through that stuff. So you can say, yo, hey, what's the best stuff this week or the best stuff this month or, you know, other stuff like that. So you're not totally on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, carry on. Adam.
Yeah.
Tarkov. We played some.
We did. We had some. I feel bad that you didn't survive those two raids.
Yeah, but you ended up with the dog tag of everyone on that raid.
We played Shoreline. And, the first raid we did on Shoreline, we both got out, right? Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because we were we found some dead juiced boys.
Yeah. Yeah, it was one of those things where we didn't have to loot a lot because we happened to stumble upon somebody who did that for us, and then we took their stuff. So the first time,
as I always like to joke with, the best way to loot is to kill someone who already did.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Like the first guy, we're just like, oh, wait, there's somebody down there. And he didn't see us. We were kind of up a little bit. We had the high ground, you know, it was over. And yeah, just like rain bullets down on him. And it turns out he has some juicy gear on him. So I think we killed two players that round. So me and Irk got out with some really nice guns and armor and stuff. So that was cool. And then this other one we did, unfortunately, Irk died. It was very sad. But I ended up getting 3 kills at the resort, but I'm looting these dudes and they have dog tags on them where they've already killed people and they have a lot of gear on them. Like multiple backpacks worth of gear. I ended up killing this guy. I hid in this small room for a second to get my bearings and I had a little face-to-face fight with this guy and I killed him and I'm in that room and I'm looking and out of the corner of my eye, there are two giant backpacks in this little room that I happened to take cover in. And it's where the guys like dropped their bags and were ready to fight without, you know, being weighed down by all the loot they got. Like these were not the biggest backpacks in the game, but like the second largest backpacks that you can have in Tarkov. Both of them were completely full. No squares were free. there were guns and armor and all kinds of stuff in there. So like I'm trying to sort through. Go ahead.
There's the general understanding that the kind of player that's going to drop a bag to engage in a fight and know that kind of shit is going to be your better players.
Yeah. And the location we were at, the resort on Shoreline, that is like the, you know, giant dick energy PvP player, just madhouse. Like, if you're going to the resort on Shoreline, you need to be prepared to fight.
It's going to be a brawl.
Yeah. So somehow I got a couple of kills there. And yeah, I'm looting these bodies and there's just too much stuff to take. I'm like overwhelmed. The raid's almost over, so I have to hurry. But yeah, between these three guys, we had 12 dog tags accounted for, which I'm pretty sure is basically the whole map. So
God damn.
Yeah, that was kind of neat.
Everybody died. Yeah. But Adam.
So yeah. Irk got a nice kit out of our first raid, and I ended up getting a couple of nice, like really nice guns and stuff out of it. So very, very good raids. And we still got some stuff done for Irk's tasks.
Yeah, that was the great thing. I got all my quests done.
Yeah, it's a good just Tarkov fun. Day.
Yeah, it's just also really fun for me to see Tarkov's economy. There's a single item in Tarkov, a Bitcoin, that is tied to real world value. So I don't mean like you can sell these Bitcoins to make real money, but as a Bitcoin price goes up in real life, the Bitcoin price goes up in the game. And because of this, the economy right now is being solely driven off the fact that Bitcoin prices are going insane.
So what we're saying is, thank you, Elon Musk. I sold a Bitcoin for 780,000 rubles today to the trader.
Last wipe, I think 200,000 would have been about the going price.
For most of the wipe, yeah. Towards the end, it got to like 300K.
Yeah, it's just nuts to see like things that you would be able to buy typically like from a trader. You can buy a tank of gas, which will help you mine a Bitcoin for $149,000. If you aren't lucky enough to get it from them, you have to spend $800,000 buying it from the flea market. It's just absurd what's happening right now on Tarkov.
It's kind of hard to keep up.
Yeah, it really is.
I gotta say, like, I knew Bitcoins existed in Tarkov. I didn't know they were actually tied to the real world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's kind of gotten out of hand. Like, really, they shouldn't do that. Like, it's cool. It's really cool. But if you have a Bitcoin farm in the game, it's too easy to make money right now.
Yeah, I'm making a lot of money right now, and I don't even have it that far advanced.
So I'd like to say you're welcome. I've been hodling Bitcoin forever. So,
nice. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Nah, it's Musk.
Happy to help. No, yeah, it is me with my fractional Bitcoin amount.
I think, yes.
So,
Tom personally convinced Elon to invest. Oh, did you?
I did.
I saw Bird playing it, and I know some people have played it, and I think we've all seen it and talked about it at one point. I finally played some Sector's Edge.
Oh, what do you think?
Oh.
The voxel builder fighter game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun. It's free. That's a lot to get used to because it's pretty fast paced. I would put it like Unreal Tournament kind of pace.
Okay.
Oh, fast.
The gunplay feels pretty good. The building's clunky as shit, but the gunplay feels good. So, yeah, I play for probably about an hour before cast, and I'll probably play some through the week. Like, that'll be my waiting for people to get on for Dota. Don't want to start a match till they're ready, so I'll boot that up, play a little bit.
Mm. Cool.
They have a lot of different types of guns you can use. And I like the way that they counteract some of the strength of weapons. So when you're using something like a sniper, you know, super strong, hits hard. They give like your tracer effectively is a huge line pointing back exactly from where you shot. So you can't just camp in one spot and snipe because everyone on the map knows where you're at after you shoot once. So it's their way of counteracting, like, yeah, you could take the sniper right off the go. Just take it. But as soon as you shoot, people know where you're at, so move.
Okay, that makes sense. That's a clever way to balance that.
They have, and since things are really explodey, there's different ways of killing. Like, there was one map that had this huge crane that you could spawn up to snipe. The very end of the match, Bird worked his way over and took out the base of this crane on the opponent's side, which collapsed the entire structure. So their entire pre-made sniper structure just disappears and just collapses.
So is the whole map completely destructible? Like, could you just spend your entire time blowing up the map to nothing? Or is there a limit?
I think there's eventually a point, but like, it's to the point where they have kill boundaries on the outside. So you can go past where they want you and still be digging, and eventually you just die from a kill boundary. You get warnings and stuff. Like, it's... the map looks nothing like it does at the end, how it does at the beginning, because the way people end up building up, building structures. Mm-hmm. And they have a super clever system. So, like, you hit Z, and you get shown, like, a radio menu of all these pre-formed structures you can build. When you're at the main menu of the game, you get these 9 pads on the ground. What you can do is build, like, a random structure on this pad, and all of a sudden, that's now on your radio menu. So whatever you build on this pad is now a quick build option for you.
Okay, that's
nice. So I made these walls with little pill holes in them to shoot out of. So now I just hold Z, go left, bam, it's there, click, 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 and I have a wall full of fucking peak windows.
That is cool.
I didn't understand what I was looking at when I first spawned, and I started dicking around and just like randomly building on this stuff. And then I realized, oh my God, this is my quick builds. So you can pre-build your quick build. So people have these really elaborate staircases with walls on the side to protect you. It's really, really thought out. While the building is clunky, the prefab stuff is so well thought out, so fun. You guys should give it a look. It's unique enough that you should at least pick it up just to see it.
Okay. Yeah.
I love the idea of the destruction in particular.
Same.
That's kind of what Battlefield has going for it in a sense too. Like, you can destroy a lot of the buildings.
I was actually going to say, we hit on this with like Rust and not Rust. The shooter where everything's destructible. Back on like the 360 Xbox era.
Red Faction.
Yes. Guerrilla. Regular Red
Faction. It hits on those notes, only it really does it.
Okay.
It's like the Elder Scrolls to Fable for selling points. So that like they nail it. Like, I was running through this one section the entire first part of the match, and then I ignored it for like 10 minutes because I just got destroyed. Come back to it 10 minutes later and it's nothing like what it was. All these custom pillars are built up. It's like a fucking labyrinth of custom built maze for people to run through. It's really cool. The customization of it is just absurd. So anyone out there who's been looking for a shooter just to kind of play around and have a good time and kind of enjoy the concept of something like a Fortnite, but think it's kind of, I don't know how to put it, like watered down, do this. This is legit.
You have piqued my interest. But first, you have to pry me off of Battlefield.
Yeah. So I will say this too. Like, the sights on that game are super clean. Like, you would think being voxel, they would keep everything voxely. But no, when you're looking down a red dot or you're looking down a sniper scope, dude, it is clean. So, like, it has that going for it too. Where voxel is the environment, it's when things blow up, it's when you shoot. But when you're aiming and the bodies you're aiming at are not voxel. I think the bodies you're aiming at are voxel. They just don't appear it as much because they have smaller voxes. But it's really clean. It's really good. But yeah, I'm a big fan of, I enjoy clean sights. And that's why I got drawn to COD so much. Because, dude, like a red dot on COD is possibly the best looking red dot sight I've ever fucking used.
Yeah,
they just look so good.
I mean, they do what they do really well.
Yeah,
yes, they do.
In a game that's that fast paced and stuff, you're gonna need some clean sight pictures.
Absolutely. ACOG, baby. Yeah, I mean, ACOGs too. Like, COD sights are clean, and that's what this game has going for. I said this game because I just forgot the name of the game.
Battlefield.
Sector's Edge.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, you're good. But yeah, that's my only new game for the week. Everything else I've been doing is the same old, same old. Good old Ka or Dota.
Fuck Dota.
Love me some Dota.
Dota later.
And then also got back a little into Slay the Spire at night. It's my before I go to bed game.
Ah. Nice wine down. So, yeah.
Shit. Yeah. I forgot to write it down. Guys, I've been playing a brand new game.
Oh, yeah?
Like, brand new. Yeah, Super Mario 3D World / Bowser's Fury thing.
How is that?
Bowser's Fury thing?
Yeah, it's the most awkwardly named game on the Switch right now. It's good. I really, really, really dig it. So what it basically is it is Mario 3D World from the DS, from the 3DS, but like just remastered for the Switch. And then they also have this other like brand new mode, Bowser's Fury, which is one gigantic Mario level with a bunch of like stars and bullshit that you have to collect in like one giant Bowser to defeat. But everything is seamless. There are no menus. There is no overworld. There's no like jump into this thing or select stars. Like it drops you in and you just play the game. It's a lot of fun. I am really, really enjoying the hell out of it. So from what I've read, the game is going to be pretty short. Like we're talking 3 to 4 hours, kind of short. But honestly, everything is super, super like tight and compact. And there's no fluff. There's no filler. It is just straight up really fucking good Mario game.
That's what I like. A game doesn't need to be long. Just give me the good shit right away. Keep it there and then get out in like 4 or 5 hours. I'm good.
Yeah. The only thing that I could see somebody complaining about is, yeah, this is a really, like, the new content is a really short game, right? You're basically getting two games in one, but it is pretty short. And it's $60. Like, it's a full price Mario. It's Nintendo.
It's the Nintendo tax.
Yeah. So, you know, I like it. I really do. But yeah, we'll have to see if my liking it pays off. Cause I've only put like a half hour into the game. I'm not very far. But so far it's a shit ton of fun. Like if you wanted just more 3D Mario, you're getting more 3D Mario. It does what it says on the tin.
Also, I need to boot up, Animal Crossing. Did you see they're putting, Mario Warp Tubes into Animal Crossing?
Yeah.
That's kind of nice.
It's like, that's a good way to get around different areas on my island. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
So I need to get on and get that.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it. I played one more new game this week. And I'm not very far into it, but I finally started Outer Wilds.
Oh,
yes!
I've owned this for a long time, actually. I bought it on Steam quite a while back with the full intention of playing it. I just hadn't been in the mood to check it out until, I guess, this week. I decided to check it out. I'm not very far into it. I only played about an hour. Honestly, I'm kind of so-so on it so far. I'm not far enough into it that I can confidently say that it's not super my thing. I'm still going to definitely give it more of a shot. But the time I played with it, it seemed okay. But it hasn't really grabbed me yet. Not that it's not going to. I've heard really, really amazing things about the game. So I do expect it to get good at some point. But so far, it's kind of cool. But I'm not completely enamored with it yet.
Have you died yet?
Yeah, I did the first one. So I've only been through one reset. Basically, the gimmick of the game is every 20 minutes, the world explodes. And you start back over. It's Groundhog Day in space. One thing they do kind of get right that I like is I like the way the ship works and how the exploration is. You're exploring this solar system, which is cool. It's kind of like mini No Man's Sky. And all the planets are really small, but it's just cool. They're all a little bit different. I haven't explored all of them yet, but I did a couple. And from what I understand, there's like puzzles on each one, right, Tom? You've played more than I have, probably.
Yeah. So each world, you kind of have to explore and figure out basically the mystery around each planet. And believe it or not, the whole game is interconnected. So solving and learning things in one area will help you in other areas of the game. It's fantastic. I fucking love it. If you want a game all about exploring and uncovering the mysteries of the place you're in, Outer Wilds is the best game I have played of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with it. It seems like it could be cool. I'm just waiting on it, I guess.
I still need to get it at some point. I love the concept.
Yeah, the concept is great. I kind of wish I didn't know what the concept was before I played, though. Like, to reset first time and not know how the game worked at all would be super cool.
So, this may be a weird question, but, like, what was the first game to do that? Like, was it Majora's Mask, the first one to really have that time-looping mechanism?
I mean, it depends on how you want to slice that, right? Because, when you think about it, like, all games where you die and start over, that's been a thing since arcades, right? So how nitpicky do you want to get with this?
Yes, it's part of the game, but it's not a mechanic of, like, you are going to die this way so you can explore this area. Yeah. But you're not going to have enough time to explore everywhere, so you're going to have to use multiple lives to actually cover the areas.
Mm-hmm. I mean, technically Rogue.
I was going to say, it's sort of like a roguelike idea.
Yeah, like Rogue is the whole reason we call them roguelikes, it's because of Rogue. So Rogue is kind of the first game to do that, or one of the first games to do that, I should say. I don't know. But that particular style, I want to say Majora's Mask popularized.
It is kind of Myst, if I recall right, you to get to Comrade Bunny's question. I think Myst, you just kind of went to the island, you just kind of did your thing, very witnessy.
Yeah.
I do like that the reset mechanic is based on a time limit and not necessarily just when you die.
Yeah.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah, I love the hell out of Outer Wilds. I really do. One other thing that I'm recently loving the hell out of, which is super weird. Here's a blast from the past. I decided to play some PUBG with Josh and Rob.
How did that go?
Fucking great. It was amazing. So I was never good at PUBG. Ever. Like, not even slightly. I'm just hot fucking garbage all the time. But I got 5 kills. Or 4 kills in one round. It was great.
Right.
I was hard carry Tom. I got the most kills out of anybody that game, which is kind of weird. I went up against fucking Rob, who's a beast at Rob's all game.
Yeah, he's really good at shooters. Well, but really any game, but shooters in particular.
Speaking of Rob, holy shit, I watched him 1v4 a group to win it.
Yeah?
Was absurd.
Oh, yeah, I was there.
Yeah, you was on the squad.
I was dead, because that was not the hard carry Tom night. Yeah, no, Rob just fucking mopped up the place. Just 1v4, you know, brushing off his shoulders the whole time. It's like, nah, fuck this, I got it. It was great.
Well, it was a fun one because it was one of those where right at the beginning, you're so far out of that circle that you're running out of the zone forever to catch up. And I think it was Josh that jokingly said, well, we're running forever. This is the one we win. And then lo and behold, fast forward 15 minutes.
That's the one we win.
That's the one that won.
I haven't played PUBG in a minute.
We should play some PUBG.
It's a good game.
I think I installed it one time because we had this conversation months ago. And I think I installed it. And then I might have since then uninstalled it to make space for some of the other games I was playing. So I don't know. I don't even know if it's installed, but I will consider reinstalling it again.
It's got a special place for me. So like that game is always going to be on my hard drive.
It's definitely the first battle royale I ever played. Like I didn't know what that was.
Yeah.
As a genre.
But it does it well. It balances the idea of kind of realism with we don't want to be too serious.
Yeah.
Did that man just crash his plane trying to kill us?
Probably. But yeah. I also played one more game I forgot to mention.
Oh, yeah.
And I played it with Tom and Dobby. We played some Risk of Rain.
Yay, oh, really? Risk of Rain 2 or the first one?
Two.
Okay.
Still haven't beat it since the actual launch, I should say.
Okay. Did they finally? They added the end game, like the last level?
Yes.
Okay.
Not only that, they added a concept that wasn't present in the first game. So they introduced what they called loadouts. So everyone has their own abilities. As you accomplish certain achievements with a certain hero, you unlock a new ability that you can sub out. So like everyone's Q has two options, but you have to unlock the second one. And then at the beginning of the round, you choose what option you want to take in.
Okay.
So it gives the different heroes different ways it could be played, which is kind of cool.
It's always nice to have that extra variety.
Yeah.
I played a new character I hadn't before. I forget what he's called, but basically the big ass lizard guy who jumps and poisons people. That is so much fucking fun. I was literally running around being fucking Hulk, like running, jumping on people, and then just slapping the shit out of them. I was Hulk smashing left and right, and it was
that's awesome.
Every third hit's a life steal with him, so it's kind of a fun character for that.
Yeah,
I have to once again point out we talked about this whenever we were all playing Risk of Rain 2 for the first time and talking about it in the podcast and stuff, but it's been a while. Risk of Rain 2 is probably the best example I can think of a sequel that is in a completely different format that I didn't think was going to work, that not only worked really well, but still somehow felt like the same, like it felt like a good sequel.
Yes.
Yeah.
If going it is from such a different interpretation, but yes, feels like it's the same thing.
Going from a 2D, like a completely 2D to a 3D game, just, and still feeling like the same game in the series, like that's really, really impressive.
So I don't
that,
know how
that was probably the game that has surprised me most at how much I liked it, given my initial expectations of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember we both talked about it. We were both like, what the fuck?
I remember
are they
seeing,
doing?
Like, way early on in the process when they announced the sequel, and then I saw just a couple of short GIFs of gameplay and them revealing that it was going to be in 3D. And I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
This might be awful. Like, I don't even know if I'm excited about this anymore.
I was fully expecting it to be off.
Yeah.
Like, I went in expecting, okay, here's Risk of Rain, but in 3D. Oh, look, the cash grab. Like, I'm waiting because I lived through the N64 era, right? That transition between Super Nintendo and N64 and, like, nothing and PlayStation.
Yeah.
And I remember all the fucking classic game series that went from 2D to 3D. And frankly, the vast majority of them fucking suck. Mega Man was hot garbage in 3D. Castlevania never worked in 3D. Like fucking Gek, right? And I owned all those games. But yeah, like the whole deal, I wasn't expecting it. And Risk of Rain 2, I would argue, is even better in 3D.
Yeah, I think I like 2 more than 1, which is hard for me to say because I really loved the first one.
I haven't played 1 recently enough. Like, I haven't played 1 since 2 came out. So I can't confidently say I like 2 better. There's something about that 2D and the art style of the first one that I'm really, really into. But
somehow they made the 3D space feel like, yeah, this is the same levels. This is the same, like,
yeah,
the color palette's there. The appearance is there. It's like, this is what it feels like it should have been if it was 3D, and they just nailed it.
It kind of helps that it's almost a 3D remake of the first game.
Yes.
Like, it is a sequel, and they definitely did add more stuff, more monsters, more abilities, more... I think they added some characters, too, but...
Yeah.
It definitely very much is kind of like a remake and reimagining of the first game.
And it turned into a shooter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fucking shooter.
Yeah, it really is. Other than the melee guy, but I mean, still primarily shooter. Yeah.
And I'm glad it caught fire because, I mean, that game sold so much better than the first one.
Mm-hmm. They deserved all their success.
Yeah.
I think it being 3D is what really like allowed people to absorb it better. Either way, Risk of Rain, we all love it. So if you've never played it, pick it up sometime. Either one or two, but two is just fantastic. But yeah, I think that's all we got for games. Anyone have anything else they want to throw out there that we haven't touched?
Yeah, I'm looking at my list, but frankly, there's not a ton on there. If you would like to feel like dying, check out Creed on VR systems everywhere. I got to make sure my heating turned up to high. Yep, it is. We're good.
All right. So, Tom, I'm going to let you take the news because I didn't get a chance to pre-read.
All right. So, Microsoft has put out their next evolution of accessibility guidelines for the Xbox. Now, what makes these cool is that they're not just for the Xbox, right? It's literally just a web page with a big ass listing of here's, you know, all of these rules that we would like to see to make games more accessible. So any developer can use them on any game, any platform, any system, whatever. You don't even have to give credit to Microsoft. What this is basically a list of things that say, hey, if you do subtitles, do them in this way. Make sure that there are variable font sizes, variable backgrounding and shadowing elements. You know, it basically walks developers through in a really nice, easy way. Here's exactly how to make your games more accessible to more people. So I know we talked about accessibility a little bit before, a few casts ago. This is kind of the next evolution of that, and it's really fucking cool to see. So if you're a game developer anywhere and you want to make sure that, you know, you're building the most accessible games out there, check out the Microsoft Accessibility Guide, because it is fucking fantastic. It's just...
Yeah, Microsoft has been on the leading edge of that, like we said a couple casts ago, for a while. So I'm not too shocked that they put out a new guideline and they're trying to get more developers to follow it.
What's really cool is all the little guidelines and bullet points have basically wiki pages behind them. Like the whole thing is like, okay, well, rule 121, make sure that your subtitles have variable background. And you get links. So if you want to show an indie dev or somebody in your team on a big game dev company, oh, hey, we need to fix, accessibility option 121 because clearly we don't have this yet. So it's super easy to digest in their little bite-sized helper chunks of here's where we want or here's how we want our games to work in the field. It is really fucking cool.
I love wikis. Yeah. Well done support wikis are excellent.
That's all this is. It is fantastic.
Yeah. What else, guys? See something? System Shock 2?
Yeah. So System Shock 2 has been on the remake path for a while now. I don't believe it's out yet, but when it does come out, after the game launches, they are planning on adding a VR mode. And I could not be happier. So System Shock 2 is kind of one of those foundational games. Gave rise to BioShock. It was one of the first and biggest immersive sims. I could not be more excited about this because it's a big-ass game that's going to be playable in VR. You're going to lose again. Just like when Alex came out and I disappeared for a couple weeks. Yeah, it's going to happen again.
I lose guaranteed. Tom. Be ready for a two-man podcast for a while after Tom plays that.
Yep.
And then about the next five after that, it's all he's going to talk about.
Yeah.
Yep. It's going to be the new Dark Souls.
Slash Alex.
Slash Half-Life Alex. Yeah. Beat Saber's getting there, Tom.
Yeah, I know.
Beat Saber.
Yeah, but I mean, I put 300 hours into it. How could I not talk about it?
That's true. And you're also, reasonably good at it. It blows my mind every time I see you play that game. What?
Am I reasonably good? Have I fallen that far?
I said unreasonably good.
Oh, okay. I thought you said reasonably good.
No. Fuck, man. There's nothing reasonable about any of that.
No, there's not. Absolutely not.
So I do kind of, I was looking at my Beat Saber standings, because some songs will give these performance, but the majority of the songs I play don't give any performance points at all. It's when you look at me, it's oh, well, Tom is only 200,000. They're 20,000 in the world. I feel like I'm top 5,000. I could be way off on that mark, but I feel like I'm up there.
Yeah, I would say probably with as many top 100, top 10s you have.
Yeah.
I think that's a safe assumption.
I think so. Tell me if I'm bragging, because, totally willing to be less than great, but yeah.
I mean, you're bragging a little, but it's deserved. I'm just the best. I'll allow it, right?
Amazing. Apple, Stadia Valve, as part of a legal battle with Epic. So Epic and Apple are still having their corporate dick-waving contest.
Yes.
Which is great. And by great, I mean just entertaining. Grab your popcorn, because these are two mega corporations fighting, and neither are your friend. So Apple decided to say, well, Valve does the same stuff we do, and no one has a problem with them. So... Hey, Valve, do you want to give us literally all of your business data? Every single title that has been released on Steam, including DLCs, dates around that, sales numbers and figures. Please give us all of this stuff. And Valve's lawyers have responded with, bruh, I don't even know you. I'm not party to this case. This is not a trivial ask. You literally want 100% of our business data to be released to public in the courts, which means that everybody will have access to it? Nah, we're fucking out, bud. Valve is saying, Apple, please fuck off. Apple is saying, Valve, please provide literally your entire, all business data around your company for the past forever to the courts for public consumption. It's fucking stupid.
Yeah, that's never going to happen.
And Valve's just like, no.
Yeah.
But Valve does have ground to gain if anything hurts Epic, though.
They do.
Yeah.
But, I don't think Valve...
Do they need it? Yeah.
Yeah.
They're doing fine.
Yeah, why on earth would Valve, decide to be dicks, right? It makes no sense to me. They're already making money hand over fist. There's no reason they need to involve themselves with a legal battle between two parties where, they really don't have any real competitors. Epic is the closest thing they've got, and frankly, Epic isn't that much of a competitor to Valve.
Not yet, but the way they've been doing those free games, if they can financially keep it going, they will be.
I mean, maybe. Certainly possible.
I mean, everybody loves a good free game.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of free games.
I do like
free games. I mean, I've played games on the Epic Store. I mean, I bought Control. Speaking of,
I think Rust is free right now. Rust 2, not Rust. Rage 2.
Rage. Mm. I heard that was
the big old flopper.
Rage yeah. is fucking awful. Rage is a terrible game.
What about Rage 2? Rage 2 is garbage. Yeah.
Yeah, Rage 2 is also bad. It's not as bad, but it's still bad. Let's see. Oh yeah. Okay. IOI Interactive has announced that. Hey, if you own Hitman 3 on Epic, you can now, for free, without paying any dimes to us, import all your locations from Hitman 1 and Hitman 2 if you own them on any platform. I haven't personally checked this out myself, but I am happy they have followed through on their promise, and we get all the Hitman content in one easy-to-use package, and I am all about that. So, good on you, IO. Thanks.
Yeah.
Glad that's something that I know they talked about doing for a while and it wasn't quite ready yet. So once you confirm it, be great to hear. But until then, I don't know.
Yeah. I haven't launched Hitman in a while. I need to do that.
You should.
Go people with the butler tux.
Yes.
Fuck yeah. I've actually been seeing a lot of ads around Hitman lately on Hulu and stuff.
Oh. Really?
Yeah. So. Hopefully it's doing well because they're putting some money behind the advertisement.
Well, so far, they did say, I want to say a few weeks after the game launched, that they already made back their dev costs. So everything from here is just straight profit for them, which is fantastic. IOI does great work. They've had really confusing marketing and really confusing SKUs for their games and stuff like that over the years, but they have gotten a lot better at it. So
they've also just been a confusing business. Being solo, then bot, then solo, with your IPs granted back to you from someone who should have never had it.
Hitman 1, when Hitman 1 came out, they said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to drop one level for free, and then the rest are going to be episodic content that people can pay us for. Hopefully players, give us $10 to buy the first episode, or I'm sorry, it was $15 first level. Hopefully players just pay us a little bit and then keep paying us as time goes on to get the content. But they also had the ability to just drop $60 straight away where you got the whole thing. They didn't understand that Hitman fans are insane and ravenous. I did it. And apparently everybody else did it too. We all dropped $60 and then they started panicking. They're like, guys, no, you can't give us $60 yet. This is just one level. Please, please don't. Please don't give us this money right now. We haven't earned it. And everyone's like, no, we know you're good for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take my money.
Here's the money. Do the thing.
Yeah, and you know what? They were good for it. They absolutely were.
I like a cheap episodic approach. Some games can pull it off very well.
Yeah.
Like something like a COD, yeah, you're not going to be able to pull it off well. But something where it's like each level is designed to be something that would take you a week or two to get through, yeah, I think that's fine. Mm-hmm. I say a week or two as in like with replay to explore different avenues and stuff.
Yeah.
Not that it would actually take you a week of gameplay. Yeah.
Like Hitman or any of the Telltale games, like stuff like that really, really works. Even, dare I say it, certain shooters like the Half-Life franchise, if you take episode one and episode two, and yeah, that should have worked out great. Unfortunately, it didn't for Valve or anyone else, but, you know.
Story-driven games will work well with that.
Yeah. I think even multiplayer games could work well with that if you're just releasing the maps one at a time.
I mean, that you ready for me to say what you're effectively asking to come back?
Halo 3 map packs. I know what I said.
Yep. Yep. Which I actually had no problem with. I enjoyed the map packs. I bought the map packs.
That was the easiest disc purchase I have ever made in my entire life. It was cheap. It had a whole fuck ton of content, a bunch of stuff for free. Yeah, it was great.
I am forever the guy that bitches about the idea that DLC is available when a game launches because that means it was made at the same time. I will always bitch about that. But I am also the guy that will line up to buy your DLC if it comes out 3-4 weeks, months later, mm-hmm. and so, I'm still playing the game. Fuck yes.
I do need to tell you, you're exactly wrong. What happens with DLC that releases alongside a game is that when the game is going gold, they can't make any changes to it. Like, if it's coming out on console as well, they can't make any changes. It's going and so you have a period of 6 to 8 weeks where you literally cannot ship any changes to your game. So what do you do for 6 to 8 weeks? You just, like, fucking sit on your hands. You're paying expensive programmers and artists. Why not fucking use them? So what they do is they end up working on DLC.
But for DLC to be ready in 6 to 8 weeks just feels fucking wrong. Like, that's really quick.
You have a company the size of fucking EA.
Company the size of EA, you're rotating developers off when a project's done.
Okay. You have a shop the size of CD Projekt Red. Okay, bad example.
Your games aren't finished when they're finished.
I still feel... Okay, I feel bad for the developers. I do not feel bad for
them. And Scott, I don't think the DLC is by the same standards because it doesn't have physical discs behind it.
Yeah.
The physical discs are the issue.
Yeah.
Like, this area, if we go all digital, this area will not be the same thing.
Yeah. And honestly, it used to be a lot worse before games went digital. So, like, with a situation where you got with Cyberpunk, where the company said, okay, you promised your day one patch is going to fix all this shit. We'll take you at your word. Cool. Don't worry about it. You got it. That shit wouldn't happen because before, they literally would have to recall and reprint discs, which, like, sours consumers on the platform that they bought it. Guess what happened with Cyberpunk? So I don't think you're going to see very many companies get away with shenanigans like that anymore.
Yeah, but the validation period is not going, when it's all digital, it's not going to be as long because there's not the physical component of it.
Exactly. So the the risk definitely changes. Instead of your risk being, oh no, we have to recall and reprint a million copies of this game, your risk is, oh no, we have to put out a patch that we are going to put out anyway.
What happens with physical copies now? Because the idea of digital patching doesn't work if you don't have the internet. And while most people do, I mean, there's people that can't do that.
Imagine if you're the person without internet, you bought Cyberpunk 2077 on your PS4, and you just got a disc that's full of broken, buggy, fucked up software. Like, that fucking sucks.
I mean, because that's part of the reason you come to the whole console market. So, yeah. That's bad. But anyway, we're getting on a south note for something that's supposed to be happy. Hitman 3 did a thing. The things are free.
Yeah. I'm super happy. Go murder people.
Murderfy. But I think that's all we got this week. It was a pretty quick week.
I would like to call out, we didn't talk about it earlier, but these dynamic maps in Battlefield 4 are really interesting.
Like, yes.
The fact that this map was not a giant storm when we first started and now it is, it completely changes the play. That's cool.
Yeah, it completely makes me awful because I was running the sniper class and then my assault class still has a fucking ACOG. Like, I'm fed up for longer play.
Battlefield is not the only game to do that. So the new Mario game actually does that. When Bowser attacks, also, I needed to get through a fence, so I threw a grenade. I didn't know if that would work. Yeah, I blew up the fence. This is pretty fucking cool. So when Bowser attacks, it's like on a 5-minute timer or something. The entire level changes. New blocks will appear, stuff will rain from the sky. There are actually certain objectives where you need Bowser to like fire blasts at you to destroy certain areas so you can walk through certain places that you couldn't before. Like it's nice. Pretty fucking cool. So yeah, if you're looking for a new Mario game, go get it.
Hell yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. But
yeah. Yeah.
Anything else you guys wanting to call out?
Yeah. No.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Nah. Nope.
Nah. All right. Nah. Well, in that case, I think that's probably all we got. So if you're watching us on Twitch, thank you. You can go catch any previous episodes that you would like, or cast, however you want to call them, on our YouTube, which is 72-Bit Connector on YouTube. If you're watching us over there, thank you very much. But you really should come to our Twitch, which is twitch.tv/72-Bit Connector. Live every Saturday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific time, and watch us here. So you can jump in the games with us. You can actually get in the chat with us. Just, it's far better experience. We also have a Twitter, which has all sorts of different updates eventually when things actually happen. So you can go there, follow us at 72PC_official. We also have a Discord, but we can't give you the Discord link because that's really complicated. So what you do instead is you go to 72PinConnector.com, and then you get all of this stuff I just talked about. You should definitely join the Discord. A lot of cool people, a lot of different games, a lot of people just chilling. It's a good time, good community. Just come in, be a part. But all I said, I mean, that's all I got. You guys got anything to add?
No, nothing here.
Nope.
Except for my amazing Dark Souls t-shirt.
Yes. Oh,
fuck that.
Dark Souls.
All right, everyone. Till next week. Game on.
See everybody.